Hi, this is Neil Kelly, Orange County Registrar of Voters, and welcome to this week's edition of Poll Worker Insights. This is a new weekly podcast that we're doing to strictly focus on poll workers and things that you need to know leading up to the election, and of course on election day as well. So we hope that you'll subscribe to this podcast and or at least tune in on a weekly basis to hear what's going on. And we're right now at 53 days away from the election, and it's coming up fast. And we're going to talk about three things today. We're going to talk about our poll worker customer service phone bank. We're going to talk about training, and then also the importance of bilingual poll workers in the polling place. So first up, I'd like to welcome Sarah Todd. Sarah is our lead in our poll worker customer service phone bank. Sarah, hi.
Hi, Neil.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
So we want to talk about our preparations for the upcoming election, and specifically what we're doing with the phone bank to make it a little bit smoother for poll workers when they call in.
Okay. Well, the first thing we did is we've hired more people, so our phone banks are larger, so hopefully our wait times will definitely be down.
Right.
Another thing that we've implemented is our customer service survey. We had some glitches last election, and we're really working to make sure that those don't happen again. We're excited about the progress we've made.
Yeah, and for people that don't have an idea of what we're talking about, the technology behind the phone banks working properly is something we don't really need to go into in depth, but
Right. We
can tell poll workers that we realize that, you know, when they're taking the survey, we want them to not have to wait too long. We don't
Right. Want
them to be irritated by the survey. It's
Right. Important
information that we're getting back. And those are some of the things that we've really worked on behind the scenes.
Right. And I think, too, along with the surveys, is we actually follow up on them. We take
Right. That
information and we use it. And so for that to be to reflect what kind of service we've actually provided is really beneficial to us.
Yeah, and that's something that we take pretty seriously here. We don't produce a report and put it on a shelf. We
Right. Go
through weekly and look at these action items and
Exactly. Take
that feedback and put it into the operation in a positive way. So that's a good point. So our phone number for poll workers,
714-567-1901.
You got it wrong, but that's okay.
Oh, no.
It's
1901.
Yeah, try it again.
714-954-1901.
Now you see it in your sleep.
Oh,
you just,
I know. It's,
you see it too many times.
I do. Isn't that ridiculous?
That's okay. We're all human.
Hopefully you can edit that out.
No, it's good. I'd rather leave it in. It's more natural. So poll workers out there listening, don't forget, make sure you start calling in if you have questions or issues regarding training. We're going to be up and running
September 21st.
September 21st, yes. And people are going through training right now. We've got a good group back, so I think we're going to have a good
excited.
Team.
I think so, too.
Yeah, great. Thanks for joining us, Sarah.
Anytime.
Back with Poll Worker Insights for the week, just 53 days away from Election Day. And we're going to talk now about training. Poll worker training is a big part of what we do, and we're always looking to revamp and make poll worker training better. And Kelly Race is here with us. Kelly's in charge of our training program. Kelly?
Hi, how are you?
Good, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, we're busy.
We are very busy.
A lot of things going on.
We have 40 trainers in-house learning everything they need to know to train our poll workers. And they are getting it. It's an amazing group of people, and they are gearing up to hit the streets of Orange County.
So let's talk about that for just a second. You know, we get a lot of former teachers or substitute teachers. I mean, people that really know how to deliver the material.
We do. It never ceases to amaze me, the caliber of trainers that we get. We have professional trainers. We have teachers. We have professors from universities.
Mm-hmm.
So it is an amazing group. And they're right now, this is actually probably the best group of trainers I think we've ever had.
And, you know,
hands down.
We keep saying that every election, but it's true because we just keep evolving and doing a better job.
It's an amazing group. And they are. Since day one, have impressed
mm-hmm.
everyone who's watching them do their presentations is just blown away by how amazing they're doing.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that. So two things I want to talk to you about today, two very important things regarding training, and one of the things we're emphasizing for November. The first is making sure that our inspectors and our poll workers are aware of Election Day observers. Now, anytime you have a presidential election, you're going to have an increase in the observation in polling places because there's a tremendous amount of attention that's paid to a presidential election. Everybody's watching, and that's okay. We want that because that makes the election process run
Absolutely.
Smoother, and it helps us to find issues out there. But there's some rules that have to be abided by.
There are rules.
Exactly. And so that's one of the things we're going to emphasize in training. And let's talk just briefly about how we're going to do that and what's allowed and not allowed in a polling place.
Right.
We'll talk about that.
Obviously, our goal is to always prepare our poll workers for anything that can happen in a polling place. And with the interest in a presidential election, we want them to have all the tools they need to manage their polling place because that's their job. And so for this election, we're going to be talking to them about how to handle the long lines. And obviously, polling place observers is going to be a big one for this election. So we are going to be discussing in detail what they are allowed and not allowed to do within a polling place.
And I think some people are confused by that because they don't really know, you know, can people come in and watch people vote? Well, absolutely they can.
Right.
They can't stand over somebody's shoulder and see how they're voting. The ballot is secret, and that's very important to maintain that secrecy. But they can stay in a polling place, and they can observe the procedures and watch the process. And, of course, they can ask questions.
Right. And I think most of the rules are pretty common sense, but it's good to just have it, you know, let the poll workers know exactly where they stand, what they're allowed and not allowed to do.
Yep.
And, you know, like you said, it's common sense. They're not allowed to look at a voter's ballot. They're not allowed to interrogate a voter inside the polling place about how they voted. They're not allowed to touch the official table or any of the documents, things like that. And that's what we're going to be focusing on in our training classes so that the poll workers and specifically the inspectors know exactly what to look for and what to watch out for.
And we're going to make sure if any of those lines are crossed that poll workers and inspectors are contacting our office and we'll get involved and we'll take care of those situations.
Absolutely.
We don't want the poll workers to have to get into conflicts.
Right. And that's always, we do always emphasize that we don't want them to be in an uncomfortable situation, and that's what we're here for. They have our phone number that they call if they're questioning anything that's happening. You know, maybe nobody is crossing a line, but if they want verification to make sure, then they call us. And if it is something they're not supposed to be doing, then we'll come out there and take care of it for them.
So the other piece, keep a heads up out there, poll workers, because on election day in a presidential, it's busy. You know, if you work the primary, your turnout was about 14% in the polling place. Well, you're not going to see that on election day in the presidential. You're going to see 70% plus in some polling places. So you've got to be prepared for that volume. One of the things we're doing to train them is to make sure that they're getting out in front and communicating with voters. Rather than just sitting behind the table, we need to have an inspector or a greeter out in front and talking. Let me use a quick example. TSA, and I've talked to you about this.
Yes.
You know, if you're traveling and security gets busy and there's bottlenecks, TSA does, I think, a good job of standing out in front and communicating rather, you know, with some authority.
Yes, they do.
And telling people, be prepared to take your shoes off. Be prepared to put your bags in a tub. Be prepared, you know, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And they're informing travelers what they need to do. We're going to do the same thing with pork.
We are absolutely doing that, and we've added that to our training classes also. And basically, we have a list of what they need to do to go out as soon as there is a line, you know, start talking to the voters that are in the line. See if anyone's there maybe to drop off just a vote-by-mail ballot. They don't need to be in line. Or we offer them a voter directional list at every polling place so they can see if maybe a voter's in the wrong polling place or if they're going to possibly be a provisional voter so we can get all of that started before they even get up to the official table.
Right.
So we've implemented some basically a small checklist for them to go through and to help them manage that line so that, and I think just letting voters know, we're running about 10 minutes or giving them information so that they know what to expect when they get up to the official table really helps. And I think it calms people down so we won't have any agitated voters.
It's funny how quickly you can internally be agitated but relaxed if you know what's going on.
Right. As soon as you're acknowledged and you're greeted and you're informed as to what's happening and how long the wait is or you're offered assistance, whether it's, you know, if you're just dropping off that vote by mail, please just go to the ballot clerk and then we'll take care of that for you. People are amazingly patient.
Yeah. Poll workers, think about those times you've been on an airplane and you're sitting on the taxiway for half an hour. You don't know what's going on. as soon as that captain comes on and talks to you, passengers start to calm down.
Everything's good.
Exactly. Same thing. Be a captain of your polling place. Okay. Kelly Race, training lead for our office. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Poll Worker Insights for 53 days just before the election. And next up here is Ben Hamataki. Ben is our community outreach manager. And Ben, hello.
Hi, Neil.
And so Ben's responsible for two things primarily. One is the bilingual poll worker recruitment, and the other is the translation and proofing of all of the documents that go out to voters and are in polling places for our language assistance. And just a quick note on that, federal law requires that we support voting materials in four languages in addition to English. That's Vietnamese, Chinese, Korean, and Spanish here in Orange County. And you can find information on our website about why we have to do that and the facts behind the Voting Rights Act. But for this particular segment, what we're talking about is why bilingual poll workers are important, Ben. So, you know, you and I know, but let's tell everybody else out there why they're important.
Definitely, and I think it's always a good reminder for voters and poll workers and everyone involved in the process. You know, it's part of it is just having someone there who knows not only the language of the voters that will be coming to the polling place, but also the culture, the background, and that level of comfort for voters as they come into the polling place and see there's someone there. If they so choose, they can talk to them, and they have a level of relationship there built already.
Right, and that's a good point. And so when you do come into a polling place, if you're somebody who needs language assistance, it's, you know, you may look around the polling place and you don't know if nobody's telling you these individuals may be bilingual. So that's why we provide name cards and name badges. Let's talk about that.
Definitely, and you know, it's funny, name badges seem so mundane, but it's actually a big deal in the office as we're getting close to Election Day. We have to be very specific that we have enough language name badges for each polling place, and so we have reports running. We've got different people pulling those badges to make sure that we can label our bilingual poll workers appropriately so that our voters know what languages are available there.
Right, exactly. You know, you may be an inspector out there, and you're hearing this, and you're saying, well, wait a second. You know, I've been working for 10 years, and I've never had somebody come in and ask for X language. Well, you know, it doesn't matter. If you're in a precinct that's targeted, meaning that it meets the threshold when we have to send out bilingual poll workers, you have no choice. This is federal law, and it's very important to follow those guidelines that we set for the poll workers for putting out the materials in the languages and for making sure those bilingual poll workers are wearing those name badges. Because, you know, as you and I know, the Voting Rights Act was reenacted by Congress in 2006, signed by the president, and it's around for another 25 years, so it's an important act.
Definitely. And I think one of the things we're doing as a department is we're going to try to communicate more clearly with inspectors and other poll workers about what languages are required in those polling places, because like you said, an inspector who has worked for 10 years, maybe they don't know that in this election there's a new language that popped up because the language requests in that polling place changed.
Right.
So we're going to use Poll Worker Pass and other ways to make sure that the inspectors, especially the inspectors, know that these languages are required by law to be supported there.
And that's a really good point. So when you go into your Poll Worker Pass web account, you'll be able to see in your polling place which languages are required. And it's going to be under the tab, I think, for polling places.
Yeah.
Yep. So, good. Thanks, Ben. Ben Hamataki, our manager of community outreach here at the Registrar of Voters. And thank you to everyone listening. Remember, we're 53 days away from the election. You're listening to Poll Worker Insights. It's a weekly podcast. We hope you'll tune in all the way through Election Day. Thanks again for volunteering.